What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you stay right with God and find victory over sin and the devil. Today, we are talking about what the Bible says about parenting. This is the third part in the series on Parenting 101. And last time, we talked about the duties of a parent, the 10 duties of a parent. Then we talked about 10 things that stop a parent from being a good parent or raising healthy children. 10 things that prevent a parent from raising healthy children. So today we're going to talk about what the Word of God says and sum all this up. So let's get right into scripture here. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version today. I'm not in the New King James. These were passages that I grabbed offline. And so you can read these in your own version later on. And these passages will be in the sermon notes for you to read for yourself and study for yourself. First one is Proverbs chapter 21, verses 15. And it says here, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Folly or foolishness, right? This is bound up in the heart of a child. This is clear. Children must be programmed. You cannot rely on them to make the best decisions for themselves. Today, there are parents, particularly women, letting their children choose what gender they're going to be. Okay? So you have boys being dressed up like girls because they felt like they were a girl. Children get inputs from the world, which is wicked. And so you can't allow your child to just accept whatever they feel and then go along with that. Children don't know any better. So it says here, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. They do stupid stuff. They don't think right. They need to be disciplined. Okay, you don't listen to children. It says here, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. So you can discipline the child and get rid of that foolishness in them, that folly in them. You can remove that by discipline. No, little Johnny, that's not correct. No, that's wrong. Okay? And if you have to use a rod, it says here, but the rod of discipline drives it out. So when they're doing something stupid, that's when you take out the rod and you beat them. And that's what leads to them being a wise child or growing up to be a wise adult. All right. Proverbs chapter 20:11 says, even a child makes himself known by his acts, by whether his conduct is pure and upright. So when you're raising your child, watch them and look at their actions. This will show whether they are pure and upright. It just shows you that this is how you ought to deal with your children. Watch them and look at their actions. Monitor what they do, and you can determine whether you got a child that's operating in purity and being upright or something else. All right. And that's when you begin to go to correction if you see something otherwise. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despises his father's instructions, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. So there are certain children who just don't want to listen. All right. And they are foolish for that because they're not going to be a wise individual growing up. They're going to be doing foolish stuff. So it's important that you determine what you're dealing with, right? And I would say that not to give up on your children just because they have folly in their heart and say, oh, they're just a foolish child, I'm done with them. No, discipline them, get them out of that. But it just says that a child who despises his father's instructions is a fool, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. So these are choices that children make and young adults make growing up. And if you see a consistent pattern where the child is just being rebellious, and then that's what they're going to be. That's their choice, you know, and they're going to have to reap the consequences for that. And the consequences was death back in the ancient Israel days. Look at Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 through 21. It says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, who will not obey his voice, the voice of the father, or the voice of his mother? And though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst and all Israel shall hear and fear. So a good way of keeping your children in line was to tell them about what happened to little Johnny. Little Johnny was disrespectful to his parents. Little Johnny did not want to listen. And so little Johnny was taken out and stoned to death. And this is what will happen to you if you don't shape up and change your way. This is very important. And somebody may say this is brutal and this is barbaric, but essentially, and this is for men. They didn't mention no girls here. They didn't say she, if she was acting out of line, because most back then women were extremely feminine. So this just wouldn't happen. Okay. Females were females. They just got in line. Okay. There was no, and we talked about masculinity. We talked about men having a strong will. And so in this case here, this boy or this young adult here who was living with his parents had a strong will, and that will was to do evil. That will was to not be a productive citizen of society. That will was being a glutton and being a drunkard. Because of that, he was rebellious and didn't want to listen to his parents, and then therefore he was brought out and stoned to death. So this is for men, for little boys, for sons, okay? If they're, and I wouldn't say this would be a little boy. I would say maybe a young adult, maybe a teenager, you know, a child that's near 20, okay? Because this is when they become a man. And if you don't deal with this rebellious behavior, they become a person that's an adult who doesn't fit into society well, that is rebellious, that causes harm to people. And you can't allow that to people like that to roam around. And this is just, like I said, this is this child's choice. This is this son's choice. There are certain people who just choose not to follow the rules. They choose not to submit to righteousness. And so they deserve to be killed. As simple as that. And unfortunately, we live in a society that doesn't allow that. Hopefully one day when Israelites getting back to their own land, we'll be able to do what we want to do with our children. And that is purge the evil from among us. That means that we make sure we discipline our children. But at some point, if we got a child that refuses to obey and refuses to act right, then they got to get taken out. And this is perfectly fine. People look at this as barbaric. No, it's a way of keeping your society pure. You don't want evil amongst them. You know, you don't want that. All right. So here we just read a few passages and just talking about the nature of children and how you ought to discipline them and stuff like that. Here's a few more. Ephesians 6:4, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Okay, so what does it mean to provoke your children to anger? Well, this is basically when a father is not nurturing their child, but they're more so just barking orders and pushing their child around and trying to get them to submit without no love. And what that does is it angers the child. It brings them to wrath. It provokes them to anger. Okay, because there are parents who love their children, discipline them. The child may not like the discipline, but they still love their parents. They still respect their parents because they understand it needed to happen. They needed to get a whooping for this, but they don't come away from the whooping saying, "I hate my dad," or "I hate my mama and I want to kill him." The only reason why that would happen is because you are not nurturing your child in other areas of life. You don't love them. They can sense that. You just want them to obey you and stay in line in the house, but you don't provide, you know, affection and positive affirmations and things of that nature for your child. And this is how you end up having a child that's angry with you and wrathful. A lot of children don't like to be whooped. That's a given. But when it comes to a place where they have wrath for you and they hate you, that's something you're doing wrong. There are parents out there that don't like their children. They didn't want to have them and they don't really want to deal with them. And the child kind of knows that. But the parent is also strong enough to say, "Look, you're not going to be running me in my household." So they're going to push the child down, mistreat the child, and try to keep the child in line as long as they're living in the house. But that provokes the child to wrath or anger here. All right. So fathers, it says here particularly, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, in the King James, it says the nurturing and the admonition of the Lord. So nurturing. See, The reason why your child is angry with you or is wrathful against you is because you don't nurture them. You see, you just barking instructions and orders and you're not giving them anything else. And that's where a child ends up being provoked to anger, particularly in boys when it comes to their fathers. And it could happen with daughters too, but this is what fathers end up doing. And so it's important that fathers don't provoke their children to wrath. Nurture them. You're going to have to discipline them, but also be there for them. Be affirming to them. But to be a father that's warm at the same time is tough. So that they understand that you love them, but you got to whoop them too. You know, so a lot of children understand that. They know, okay, I deserve to get a whooping. I know. I know my parents love me. I know my dad loved me though. When you don't get that sense from them, especially your father, that they don't really like you, and he's like, man, I don't like this guy, man, because now he want to discipline me, and if he's stronger than the kid, and he's pretty much getting beat up by somebody in the house, basically, they're not gonna like that. Okay, so that's what provoking a child to wrath is, and you don't want to do that. Says here, here's another passage, Colossians 3:21. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. This is similar, but they can be wrathful in the first passage here, and they can also end up being discouraged. So they just become discouraged because you keep pushing them down. You keep beating on them. And this is not a discipline thing. They just feel like I'm being oppressed in my house, you know, and it's not out of love. They don't understand why, you know, this is happening to them. When you discipline your child, you need to explain to them why you're disciplining them. If you take something away from your child, you need to explain why you took it away. You don't just take things from them. You don't take stuff away. You don't just put them on punishment without explaining to them why. You don't do things like that. So this can cause the child to be discouraged. And a discouraged child has no courage. So they grow up with no courage to do things because they've been discouraged by their parent, particularly their father. All right. So it's important that particularly fathers raise their children correctly. Don't discourage them. Don't provoke them to wrath, but bring them up and nurture them. All right. You got to be affirming. You got to be warm with your children. You know, Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14 says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. So this is for parents who think that if they beat their children, that they're going to die. Well, I don't want to hit my child because that's considered child abuse. You know, don't listen to these psychologists out here that talk about not physically hitting your child with rods or belts or cheap tree branches or stuff like that. You know, putting them on a timeout, and that may not work for a lot of children. So you got to go ahead and use a rod, use the belt, use a stick, you know, a branch, and cause those children pain so that they learn from their mistakes, learn from their bad behavior. All right. It says that if you strike him with the rod, he will not die, but you will save his soul from hell or Sheol. Training the child will make sure that they grow up to be a productive citizen, a person that lives in the standards of Christ, and that they will make it to heaven. You know, not end up in a place of hell, you know, not end up, you know, dead. So it's important to always discipline your children. Now, it goes on to say here, discipline your child. This is in Proverbs chapter 19, verses 18. It says, discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. So don't discipline your child. Don't use a rod on your child when you're angry. Okay. Make sure you cool down from whatever they did and then say, okay, I got to go discipline them now. But do it in a place where you're not angry and wrathful, because you don't want to put them to death. Some things that children do can be very shameful to a parent, to where they get the beating on the kid, and then eventually they just say, I'm going to take them out. Instead of them bringing them before the elders and stoning them, they're gonna kill them themselves. So no, you don't want to put them to death. So that means you gotta, when you're angry, sit aside for a minute, and then deal with your child. Let yourself cool down, and then deal with your child. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 29 says, "Do not profane your daughter by making her a prostitute, lest the land fall into prostitution and the land become full of depravity." Prostitution is illegal in America right now. I think it might be legal in a certain state. I think Nevada or something like that. But overall, you can't really do this. I know in third world countries where there's not a lot of support, not a lot of money, parents will tell their daughters, if you're pretty, you can go down and work in the bars. Okay, you become a bar girl, which is a prostitute, or a freelancer, which is a prostitute, or a massage soap girl, which is, these are like in Thailand and different areas like this, where they claim to be Christian. These passages right here, perfect for them, because it's saying, don't do that to your daughter. If y'all ain't got no money, don't make her a whore to make money. Don't send your daughter out there to make money. Find a different way, okay? But don't send your daughter out. Don't profane your daughter, here it says, by making her a prostitute. Don't put your daughter in a position where she has to sell her body. And that's what's happening in Thailand, in the Philippines, and other Asian countries. In other countries where, you know, there's just not a lot. If it's legal prostitution, a lot of parents are saying, daughter, you're going to have to make money and help us make money for the family. Go out there and the more you do that, the more prostitution becomes a bigger thing. And then now your land is polluted with prostitution. So don't do that. It's tempting. It's a way to get easy money, but you profaned your daughter by doing that. And you messed the land up by doing that. Okay. Here's a few more scriptures before we end. This is now talking about training your child up again. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." So this just, it shows you how if you train your child at a young age, it's going to stay with them. Everything about who a human being is today, when you're dealing with an adult, you're dealing with how they were raised as a child. You know, you can make a successful human being if you just put forth the effort when they're a child. You put forth the energy and the discipline, they're going to be successful growing up. If you put forth that effort, you're going to make a successful adult. Okay, that's what you want. You want a child that's winning at life. And you can produce offspring that's winning at life by training them up in the way that they should go. It starts when they're young. If you program them when they're young, they'll remember when they're old. All it takes is you putting forth the effort and being consistent. All right. Proverbs chapter 29, verses 15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Okay, so it's important that you spend time with your children and discipline them. Like I said in my last discussion about parents not being home because they're working so long, they much, or when they do get home, they have no time for the child. You got to spend time with your children. Otherwise, if you leave them by themselves, they're going to bring shame to you at some point because they're being parented by the world. Social media is parenting them and telling them what to do. So it's important that you give them a rod. In other words, you discipline them physically in some cases, reprove them and give them wisdom. Or else you end up with a child that brings you shame. And it's your fault. This is your fault. If your child bring you shame, it's your fault. Because you didn't spend the time to train them to be a better person. A lot of people will sit and act like their kids is, I don't know why my child like that. Your child is bad because you didn't discipline them. Simple as that. And it goes on to say here in Proverbs 13:24, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." So if you love your child, you'll discipline them. You'll spend the time with them to raise them up in the way they should go. All right. If you don't do that, you don't have no time for them, it's because you don't love them. It's simple as that. If you don't want to discipline your child, you don't love them. And back to the passage about beating your child. You know, some people had this idea that my child is LD. Learning disability, or my child has ADHD, and so therefore they're free to do what they want. I've seen this with women saying it's okay for their child to be some. the child be bad. The child be acting out, but they say, well, they have a learning condition and they're slow. And so, but it's okay for them to be act this way. It's like, no, even if the child is slow, even if the child, they know right from wrong and they deserve to be disciplined. You don't withhold discipline from a child just because they've been diagnosed with ADHD or they have a learning disability, you know? And so I've seen that. So I just want to put that out there. Some people have that excuse. Some parents have that excuse. And really, you don't love your child. Discipline your child. I don't care if they're slow, you know, quote unquote slow. So I it bothers me when I hear that from parents, like, well, they, you know, they're this and they're that. That's no excuse for you not to discipline them. All right, so let's go into another passage here. Deuteronomy 6:7, it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and teach them, meaning the laws of God, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So they're stating that always be teaching your child, day, in the early in the morning, at the evening, before they go to bed, throughout the day, when y'all laying down, every time, talk to them about the things of God. Study the Word of God. Teach them the Word of God. Read scriptures and passages and accounts of the Word of God about what somebody did and what they learned from it. Bring up the Bible stories and read them to your child. And share lessons from the Bible with them. Always be teaching them the things of God, because they're going to remember this stuff and retain it as they get older. And they may say, well, Daddy, you keep, you know, sharing that story. You keep saying this. It's, you know. But just keep talking to your children, because they're going to remember all this stuff and it's going to be in their soul. It's going to keep them. It says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they are old, they will not depart from it. See, as a parent, you have the power to raise wise, healthy, effective, productive citizens of society. You have the power to do that. At an early age, all you got to do is discipline them. Stay on them. Be repetitious. That's what they're saying here in Deuteronomy 6:7. Be repetitious. As a parent, you on 24/7. You're teaching, you're training, they're your student. You always on them about stuff. And they may not like it. They may say, you said that already, Dad, or you already said that, Mama. You already saying the same stuff. But you keep on doing it, because they're going to remember that when they get older. All right. Another passage here is 2 Timothy 3:14 and 17 through 17. It says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. So he says, from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So when you're teaching your children all these things, it's leading to them being a person that is wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Your children are going to make it into heaven. Your children are going to be right in right standing with God because of you as a parent. If you do your job as a parent, they're going to be right with God. Okay? It's your job, though. It's your job to at least train them up and raise them up. Now, of course, we talked about earlier how some kid children are so rebellious and they just don't want to hear stuff. You know, we talked about that. But for the most part, if you put your time in with your child and you teach them, you stay on them and you're repetitious and you love them and you nurture them, they will be successful. And you will say this when they get older, when they move out your house, when they're living on their own, when they're married with children, when they're starting their own family, when they're building their own empire, you're going to say this. This is in the book of 3 John chapter 1, verses 4. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. That's what every parent wants to hear. My baby's doing all right out there. My son is doing all right out there. My daughter is doing all right out there. They're winning out there. They're walking in the truth. And it's because of what you did as a parent. You have the power to shape the next generation and to make healthy people go on to do great things in the world. That's the power of a parent. So with that said, that's all I got for you today. That's the end of the series on parenting. These scriptures will be in the sermon notes. And until next time, walk in the Spirit and be blessed.